have extras, and we'll get one for you. Right here, Brother Kevin. Yeah, I remember, I don't know, 6 years ago or so, let's see, 2007, almost 6 years ago, we had a going away Sunday for somebody else. Remember that? Remember Pat and Debbie Dean? Big going away Sunday. Crying. Slobbering all over ourselves. Letting them know how much they meant to us. And then look what the Lord did. So we're going to just be praying for a repeat of that. All right. Open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. I know we're not in Romans. You don't know what to do now this morning. Yeah, you're not sure. You're not sure. You didn't know there was anything else in your Bible but Romans. But no, yeah, there's more to the Bible than Romans. Psalm 126. And I'm going to be all over the place this morning. I'll just tell you in advance. I have no idea what direction this message might go this morning. I have some things on my heart. The Lord did some things for me recently, personally. Some things that I was struggling with spiritually. Some prayers that I needed answered desperately. Things for me personally, but also things for our church. I had a burden for something that I sensed is missing in our church here. And I'm not going to dump it all on you this morning, but over the last few weeks, God has been very gracious and just done some things for me personally in my fellowship with Him, in my reading, in my worship. And the Lord used some meetings recently that I had the privilege of attending. One of them was the camp meeting in Connecticut and the camp that we went to in Delaware. Some things that I saw and heard there, some things that God showed me were a direct answer to prayer. And this morning's message is kind of a response to that. There are some things, I think, in me that need to change. And there are some things in us, in a church here, that need to change. You know, we're not a perfect church by any means, are we? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. There's a whole lot of things that need to change. And some of those things, I confess, I wasn't aware needed to be changed. There were some things that, you know, you kind of are the product of those that taught you and trained you. And I'm kind of the product of men that I've come up under and been influenced by, Pastor Mel and others. And not that their influence was wrong in any way. It may have just been the way I took it, but and I think I got some misconceptions over the years as to what a church really should be, what our worship time together really should be, and what my personal walk with God really should be like. And one of the things, and there's other things that I want to talk about over the weeks to come, but one of those things that I recognize and I had to confess to God that I realize is missing, has been missing in my life on a daily basis, and to some degree missing in our church services, is what I'm going to preach to you about this morning. Now, there's more, and I can't put it all in one message. It's just impossible. It's going to take a few weeks or a few months or something for me to just bear my heart to you as God seems to be speaking to me and dealing with me about things. There's a number of things that this is going to involve, but one of those things, for me personally and for us as a church, and maybe for you personally too, is the subject that we're going to talk about this morning. Now, I started it kind of Wednesday night. Wednesday night, if you were here, we just simply, I didn't have an outline or anything like that, we just went into Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, and if you remember, we took a look at the scene in heaven. What it will be like, what it is like right now, I guess, right now around the throne of God, what it's like in heaven right now. And over the last few weeks, as I've been reading Revelation 4 and 5 again and again, it's just been stirring my heart. It struck me that heaven is not a quiet place. It's not a quiet place. It's a noisy place. There's singing, there's shouting, there's praising, there is worship. In fact, God created, as we said Wednesday night, you remember God created those four beings that circle His throne, and their only responsibility is just to praise Him 24 hours a day, all day long, without ceasing. They just are constantly praising, it says, and even thanking the Lord. And they're not even redeemed creatures. I mean, they've never known forgiveness. They've never known what it was like to be in sin and be saved. And yet they sing and praise the Lord all day long. And they don't know what it means. They don't know what it feels like to have been forgiven. But you and I have this blessing, something God gave to us. Something God gave to us. And it's something very, very important. And it gets misused and abused. And misunderstood. And sometimes, as Bible believers, we're almost afraid of it. What I'm going to talk to you today about is feelings. Feelings.
Feelings.
Emotions. Feelings. You know, sometimes we're afraid of them. Especially if you're a guy. You know, I'm reading in Revelation 4 and 5. Nobody up there seems to be worried about their feelings. Man, there isn't any inhibition in Revelation 4 and 5 on their emotions. Emotions can be a good thing, can be a bad thing. And I think over the years, for whatever reason, we're kind of a reserved church by most standards. Now, for some of you, like Brother Pat said, you came in here, you're not used to this, and this scares you. But let me tell you, what you saw this morning is reserved. You were very, very calm and reserved this morning. Some of you haven't shouted yet this morning. Some of you yet this morning haven't thanked God or said amen. We're kind of a passive church in many ways. Now, you don't recognize that, maybe. You don't sense that. But we are. Now, we're not interested, and I'm not interested in comparing us to anybody else, any other churches. It doesn't matter to me whatsoever what somebody else is doing. I'm only concerned about what is right. What does God desire? What does He have a right to expect from us? What does He want? What's going on in heaven right now? What should be a Christian's normal emotional response to the things of God? I mean, most of the time, let's face it, you look around this crowd on a Sunday morning and it doesn't look like this is a room full of saved people. Because you may have some joy in your heart, but you haven't let your face know that. You haven't informed your face about how you feel. And you know what? I got to tell you right now, I'm putting the church on notice. This has got to change. It's got to change. I'm asking God to change me. I'm asking God to change me. And I'm apologizing to you for I'm pastor almost 20 years. I'm apologizing to you for 20 years of a bad example. Of a bad example. I wouldn't mind if this place just came unhinged now and then. Oh, not just to have a fleshy show of, you know, hoop-de-doo. But I'm talking about you and me just every once in a while getting so overwhelmed with our God that you want to just jump out of your skin. Amen. Lost in His love. Just getting overwhelmed with Him. Sorry, I just spit on you. I'll back up. Holy Spirit. Anyway, all right, let's go. Psalm 126. And this wasn't in my message. Steve gave me this verse this morning. He was trying to quote it, and I said, oh, man, I'm putting that in the message this morning. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. That means when He let you out of your prison bars. When He reached down into your situation and He made you free from what held you, your sin. When He delivered you. When He turned again your captivity. Do you remember the day that it happened to you? Can you think back on that day when He turned your captivity? When He came back, that's the problem, is that we got to continually go back to that day. You better remember. And I don't care if you were 5 or 6. Praise the Lord, a little girl, Abigail, can sing What a beautiful song. Brother, that was a huge blessing. She's going to do that later today. She's got to sing that again. I don't know if she's in here this morning, but my little granddaughter, Shaylin, got saved not long ago. And I got to tell you, my wife and I both marvel at the change in that girl since she got saved. You say, I don't know, they're a little kind of young, they don't understand. I got to tell you, I see a work of grace in her. I see a girl whose personality changed toward me, toward everything, when she got saved. I mean, we've been enjoying it and watching it. I'm just seeing God work in her heart. You say, she's just little, she doesn't understand anything. I tell you what, the Spirit of God is doing something there. And if God is doing something in your heart and my heart, there needs to be a right godly response. And I'm telling you, I don't want to try to work up anything. I don't want to try to imitate anything. I don't want to try us, you know, I don't care. I just want us not to put any limitations on what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in our hearts. Psalm 126. When the Lord, it says, turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Wow. It was almost like hard to comprehend what had actually happened. I remember the day I got saved. I mean, it wasn't like a dream, but it was one of the most amazing days of my life. When I realized that I was forgiven, that I was saved, that I was on my way to heaven. And I mean, I wish I'd gotten saved when I was 5 or 6, like some of the kids in here. I'm sorry I was so stupid. I waited until I was 23 years old. And it was, I mean, I wish I could take back those years and some of the things I did during those stupid years. But I tell you what, the day I got saved, it was just a wonderful to think about the fact that my sins were gone. To comprehend, to finally understand why Jesus died on the cross for me. To know that I was on my way to heaven. I've told you this before. I mean, I got saved and at the time there was this road. I was living in Ohio at the time, and there was this little road that went along the Ohio River, and the river was on my left and trees and everything on the right. And I remember just a day or so, maybe that same night after I got saved, just walking along that river. And just everything looked different. The stars looked different. The trees looked different. The water looked different. Everything looked transformed. It was why? Because my heart had been transformed. And I was so full of joy. I was just singing out loud by myself. If people had driven by and seen me, it was at night and cars driving by, their headlights on me, they really must have thought I was out of my mind. Just walking along, singing to myself, thinking about God, loving on the Lord. You know what? And I got to confess, not every day since then has been like that. To my shame. But it says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Can you laugh in church? Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah. Is there going to be laughter in heaven? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. What is it? It's a response. It's a redeemed heart. It's someone who's happy finally that God has forgiven them. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are what? Glad, glad. Go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. You know what Psalm 22 is about. The first part of the verse, the first part of the chapter is about Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the view of Calvary from His point of view. And about halfway down the chapter, it goes, you're reading along here and you're reading about Jesus Christ on the cross. But the last part of the chapter is the Lord after His resurrection. And it says in verse number 22, I will, verse 22, now this is your Savior. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So in the first half of the chapter, you have the Lord suffering for our sin, being pierced, being judged for us. But then the last half of the chapter is after the resurrection. It's showing you prophetically the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and the risen Jesus Christ gathered together with His people. The great congregation is heaven, the body of Christ.
Amen.
And here's the risen Savior among His people, among those whom He has redeemed. And what does He say? I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Even the Son praises the Father. It says in verse 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. And what is that? Here the psalmist is rejoicing, and it's the thoughts in the mind of Jesus Christ doing the speaking, but he's out of a thankful heart, because when he cried, God heard him. When he called out, the Lord heard him. I mean, what a blessing that is to know. If you call out to the Lord, He'll hear you.
Amen.
And he says here, it says, verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. So here it looks like a public display of affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. A public display of affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we keep our emotions many times bottled up. But I tell you what, if you know you're saved and you appreciate what it costs to save your soul, you ought to learn to let go. You ought to unbottle it. You ought to open your mouth every once in a while and just shout. It's okay. It's not a sin to lift your hands. Amen. It's not a sin to get happy as a Christian. Now, we're going to look at why Christians aren't happy, but the normal state of a Christian in fellowship, a child of God in fellowship with his Savior, should be that your life is filled with joy as you think on the things that God has given you. Right? You get glad. You get happy. You have something in you. There's a shout inside your heart that you can't help. You can't help but just let it out every once in a while. Look at verse 25 again. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows. A vow is something you owe. Something you pay. You owe the Lord. You owe the Lord. If you're saved here today, you owe Him. You owe Him thanks. You owe Him praise. You owe Him to glorify His name. But now that says, I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. So I know we're kind of like here, we're all about just, you know, decisions that we make in our heart, in our seat. We worship Him within. You know, we deal with God inside. And I know that. But you know, that's not what that verse says. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Spirit of your Savior. And He said, I will pay my vows. I will give what I owe. I will pay what I owe. I owe Him praise. I owe Him thanks. I owe Him glory. I owe Him my life. I owe Him everything. And you know what? I'm supposed to pay those vows in front of you. Before them that fear Him. In front of you. A public display of my affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for you and I just to put on a show here. This ought to carry over all through the week. Out in the world, at work, and everywhere else. But man, where it ought to be the best is when God's people get together like this. When we gather together in this place, this ought to be a little foretaste of heaven. There ought to be some joy in here. There ought to be some happiness in here. There ought to be some victory in here. There ought to be some praise in here. He is worthy. He is worthy. All right, well, let's go look at some things. Martin Luther said this. I think he actually wrote a song that went something like this. Feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. So it kind of puts the kibosh on feelings. And I understand that. Because you're not saved because you feel you're saved. Because if you've trusted Jesus Christ, there may be days when you don't feel saved and you still are saved. We don't put any faith in our feelings, right? We put faith in the facts. The facts are the Word of God, the truths of God. And you see them, you put your confidence in them, you trust them. So it's fact and faith. But you know the result of putting your faith in the facts is feelings. We don't base anything on our feelings, but feelings are okay. It's all right to feel something. It's all right, it's normal, it's right. If you've trusted the facts and you put your faith in the facts, then God gives you new feelings. He gives you, I experience emotions I never knew anything about until I got saved. God gave me some new feelings on the inside. He began to change my emotions. Emotions are not bad, guys. It's not a wicked thing to be emotional. It's not wrong to cry when you start to think about how good God's been to you. It's not wrong. There's something wrong when we suppress that because we think somehow it's not the image that we should portray. It's not the kind of a people we should be. Hey, we're New Yorkers. We're supposed to be tough. We're supposed to be, you know. God help us in this place. God help us. I'm asking God, He'll just, I don't know, break up all our fallow ground. Just break things up in here. And I don't know. I'm not saying I know how to do this. I'm trying to figure out how to fix this in my heart. But I'm going to fix it in me, and I want to fix it in here. And I want to fix it in you, too. I don't know how to do it. But I'm telling you, I sense it, and I believe it's from God that it's missing. It's missing. It's missing. I don't know. But I think I'm right. I think I'm right. Psalm 40. You know that one, man. Right? Psalm 40. Psalm 40. David said this, and we love this verse, but just think about it for a second. Apply this verse to you. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. And He hath put a new song, a new song in my mouth. Something happened to me when I got saved, and something happened to you when you got saved. You ought to be able, God has a right to hear your praise. He has a right to hear you glorify His name and let Him know you appreciate what was done for you. Now, God put that new song in David's heart. God did that. Think about it. The day you got saved, you know that God began to readjust your emotions and fix things in you emotionally? God began to put a new song in your heart. It's not like the old song. It's not like the stuff I used to sing. It glorified the flesh, glorified the world. That new song glorifies God. That new song, look at it in verse number 3, is praise. A song of praise. Now, you know what? If there's praise, if you don't feel like praising the Lord when you hear the gospel, when you don't feel like praising the Lord when you hear about heaven, when you don't feel like praising the Lord, when you consider what God did for you on that cross, you better check whether you are saved or not. You better just take a long, hard look and make sure that you're a child of God. Because that shows me God puts a new song in a Christian's heart. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I like that leper in Luke chapter 17. 10 guys walking down the road. They cry out to Jesus Christ to cleanse them. And you know what the Lord says to them in Luke chapter 17? He says to them, go show yourself to the priest. Now, they're all still leprous. They're all still diseased. And the Lord, because if God had cleansed you of leprosy, you had to go under the Old Testament, you had to go to the priest. He had to confirm that you were clean, and He would pronounce you clean, and your life would change. And so the Lord said to them, go show yourself to the priest. Now, you know what? And it says, and as they went, so when they took off to see the priest, they're still lepers. They had not been cleansed yet. That would be the most ridiculous thing in the world, for a leper to come to Christ and say, Lord, would You heal me? And then the Lord says, go show yourself to the priest as if you had already been cleansed. But you know what? Those guys in faith, all 10 of them, just started walking off to show the priest. They're still lepers as they're walking. And it says that as they went, the Lord healed them. And all 10 of them, as they're walking toward the priest to show themselves to the priest, they realize their bodies are whole. They're cleansed. They probably had their fingers back or their noses back or whatever deformities they had are all healed. And they all just went on their way, except for one. It says, and when he saw what had been done unto him, he turned back. He turned back. And he went back to the Lord Jesus. It says, and with a loud voice, he glorified Him. With a loud voice, he praised Him. He fell down at His feet, and he thanked Him. for what had been done. And Jesus said, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Now, they all got the same cleansing, but only one of them got glad about it, got happy about it, glorified God about it. You know what? We ought to be like that Samaritan in here, not the other 9. The other 9 got, that's a picture of getting saved. The other 9, you could say, got saved too. Like many of God's people get saved. And then just go on their way. Okay, yeah, I got saved. I remember I prayed a prayer one day. I guess I'm going to heaven. But that one, man, when he saw what was done to him, and he appreciated what God had done for him, his heart just began to sing, and he went back and fell on his face before the Lord and glorified God for what had been. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy. I want to live grateful every day. I want to live grateful. I want to live thankful. I want to get ready for heaven. You know, some of you we're gonna be so out of place when we get there. It's gonna be like walking in on a scene that you weren't ready for. Because that place is filled with grateful lepers. Amen. Who got saved and were glad. I mean, it's filled with praise and thanksgiving and glorifying God. We ought to be that way. We ought to be that way. In our worship, in this place, in our heart, in our homes. So what do we do with our feelings? Is it wrong to get emotional about the things of God? Is it bad to get excited? No. Can we shout?
Amen.
Can you shout?
Amen.
Can you do it? Can you really do it? Can you say, thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Is it okay? I know some of you, it's just like, I know it's a weird feeling. You make sure that... Can we shout?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me hear the ladies shout in here. Come on, ladies. Amen. Glory to God. Ladies, come on. Let me see you raise your hands. Raise your hands. You know what that means when you raise your hand? That means you're lifting your hand toward the one who made it all possible. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. It's all because of you. That's what that means. Lifting your hands. Lord, it's because of you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what that means. That's what that means. I don't do this. This ain't me. This ain't me.
It ain't me.
This ain't me. But you know what? To my shame. To my shame. To my shame. Because I owe him everything.
Amen.
I owe him everything.
Amen.
I owe him everything. I owe him everything. Ladies, I want to crack your mascara. I want you to let the Spirit of God just shake you out of your lethargy, out of your complacency. Man, we got a big God. We got a big God. And you know what? You're a part of His family. I sit at His table as a child of the King. I don't deserve that. I should be in hell, and so should you. You sit at His table. You're redeemed by His blood. Forgiven. Headed for glory. You're going to be sitting with the saints up there. You're going to touch those nails. Those nail prints in His hands. You're going to look into His face. You know what? You are not going to be able to be quiet then. I won't be able to be quiet then. You won't be able to shut up. There'll be no shutting you up in heaven. You know what? There'll be no shutting you up in heaven. I know some of you... You don't think that's possible. You think in heaven you're going to be the same as you are now. Contemplative, you know. You're just going to be considering deeply within your heart the great mysteries of God. No, you're going to look like a crazy fool at the judgment. You're going to be jumping, you're going to be shouting, you're going to be thanking God when you realize the devil's not any longer around to bother you and your sin's gone. When you realize finally you're never going to see the flames of hell. And you're going to see the one that loved you like that. I tell you what, some of you are going to look like you lost your minds. But you know what? This is supposed to be a little taste of that. This is supposed to be a preview of that. Man, the world doesn't know anything about this. The world doesn't know anything about joy. They don't know anything about praise. They need a rock band to pump up their emotions. Or a drug or something. Now, I know some of us, our personalities are such, it's okay, I'm not trying to make you or ask you to be something that you're not. But at the same time, if you're saved and your heart is filled with what God did for you, sometimes it is going to be impossible for you to hold it in any longer. And you know what? When we do so, we quench the Spirit of God in this place. I believe we grieve Him. I believe we grieve Him. We might see God do greater things in our midst if we would just stop being worrying so much about what we look like, what we sound like, what somebody might think about us. He's the only one that matters.
Amen.
He's the only one that matters. Are we weak if sometimes we get so overwhelmed with Jesus Christ that we just feel like jumping out of our skin? Is that weakness? Have you ever wanted to cry because you were so happy with the Lord? That shouldn't be a rare occasion that happens every couple of years. That should be the normal thing. If you and I are fixed upon Him and think about Him, meditating on Him, filled with His Word, that should be the normal state of our Christianity. I mean, I'm just confessing my sin here. I'm not rebuking you. I'm the problem. And I've been asking God over the last couple of months to fix me. I know I just something's missing. And I don't want it to be missing anymore. Do you know that God is an emotional God? You ever think of why do we have emotions? You were made in His image. Why is it possible for you to feel anger, joy, delirious happiness? Where do those emotions come from? That's not a product of evolution. That comes because God put those things in you from creation. Because God has those things. He is an emotional God. Emotions are not weakness. Emotions are not weakness. God is emotional. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, He went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And there was a man that came in with a withered hand, and the people were watching Jesus to see if He was going to heal this guy on the Sabbath day. And the Bible says that when He looked around upon them, he looked around upon them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. The Lord is looking upon these people who are about to find something that they can accuse Him for, and the Lord got angry. There was anger, and His Spirit was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts. Remember the time in John chapter 2 when the Lord went into the temple and He saw the money changers in there and He saw everybody, you know, making merchandise out of the things of God, and the Lord Jesus, and it says He made a whip out of some small cords. Now that probably took a few minutes. That means He went somewhere, got the material, made a whip very calmly, went back into the temple, and then just tore the place apart. Flipped the tables over, it says He poured the money out. Poured the money changers' money out on the floor, scattered everything, turned their tables over, and then drove them all out with a whip. Hey, that's emotion. That was emotion. And then the disciples remembered that it had been written of Him that the zeal of thine house had eaten Him up.
Amen.
We heard a message at camp on that very verse about Jesus Christ just being eaten up with a zeal for His Father. Eaten up. I mean, that's emotion. That's in the emotional realm. That is a man's emotion so filled with God that there's zeal, there's passion, there's fire. The Lord Jesus Christ was emotional. God is emotional. John chapter 11, when Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, it says when He saw Mary weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in His spirit. That's emotion. He groaned in His spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid Him?" They said unto Him, "Lord, come and see." And then the Bible says, Jesus wept. What is that? That's a tender heart. That's emotion. That's compassion. That's love. That's concern. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says that He's touched with the feeling.
Amen, amen.
The feeling of our infirmities. He understands our feelings. He put those feelings in us. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Bible says He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Over in Hosea chapter 11, go back there with me for a minute. Turn back there real quickly. Hosea. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, like that. Hosea chapter 11. Right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 11. The Lord is reproving His nation. He's heartbroken for His people. It says in verse 1, it says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." And it goes down through here. He's expressing His love for His people, Israel. Verse number 4, "I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love." So God drew His people to Him by His loving acts of kindness. He loved His people. He loved Israel. But at the time Hosea is written, His people are in rebellion. They're full of sin. Notice down in verse number 8, God knew it was time for judgment. It was time for them to get a spanking. It was time for Him to deal with them very severely. But notice what He says concerning that. He says, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How can I do it?" God knows I need to judge you. I have to punish you. But how can I do this? I love you. I mean, you know what that is? That's emotion. That's the heart of God. Everything He did, you think He's a God of wrath and judgment, and He just does it like, you know, like a machine. No, even when it came time to judge His people, it broke His heart to have to do it. Breaks His heart to have to chasten you or chasten me. Breaks His heart when you and I get in sin. Because my God has emotions. He put those emotions in us. He says, "How shall I give thee up?" Look at verse 8. "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me." My heart is turned within me. There's turmoil on the inside. God knows it's time for me to judge. It's gotten to the point where I have to chasten you now. I have to punish you now. But I love you. I don't want to do it. And the Lord is saying, my heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. God has a heart. He has emotions. He has feelings. He made you and I the same way. Mark chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. But a leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him, kneeling down to Him, saying unto Him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, it says, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I wilt, be thou clean." Moved with compassion. Moved. You know, emotion, part of that word is motion. It's the turnings of your heart on the inside. Motion. And God is moved on the inside. There's something inside of God when the Lord saw that man in his condition, there was something inside the Lord that began to move. He was moved with compassion for him. That's an emotion. God's heart was stirred. The tenderness that He had towards sinners came out. Why? God was responding to that moving of that emotion on the inside of Him. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that all through the Scriptures. So many times it says that He was moved with compassion. Another place, Luke chapter 15, speaks about a guy. It's a parable about a guy that lost a sheep. And he went out to find that sheep. And when he found that sheep and he brought it home, he rejoiced because his sheep was found. And Jesus said that there is also, likewise, there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels. One sinner that repented. That means when God sees somebody down here, get their heart right. When He sees you or me down here, see a truth. Confess a sin. Get it right. The Bible says there is joy in heaven in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. There's joy in the presence of the angels. Well, who's in the presence of the angels? That's your Savior. That means when He sees your heart get right, when He sees you repent, when He sees you acknowledge a truth, all the way, billions of light years away in glory, you just triggered an emotion in God's heart. How about that? His heart is moved. His heart is moved with joy. Why? He's watching. He's watching.
He's seen it. I mean, how much more joy if a little repentance gives him joy? How much more joy would you give him today if you just opened your mouth and said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for doing what you did for me on the cross." If just getting your heart right gives him joy, how much more if you would just openly acknowledge without any shame or embarrassment that you are a child of God and you don't care who knows it. Hey, if you can't do it in here, I know you're not doing it out there. If you can't live unashamed of Him in here, I know you're not doing it out there. Because we're all friends in here. We're brothers and sisters in Christ in here. We don't have to put our guard up in here. We can just let our hair down in here. I mean, this is family. If I can't just love my Savior around my brothers in Christ, then I'm not loving Him very much openly out there either. There's no open display of my affection for Him out there if there can't be in here. Amen. That's not bad preaching. Amen. All right. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. Go over there with me. Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. In verse number 17. Love this verse. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Amen to that. He will save. He will rejoice over thee. Wow. You know that He rejoices over you too? Just as you're to rejoice over Him. And I didn't even do anything for Him. I didn't die for Him. I didn't forgive Him. I didn't sustain Him. I didn't feed Him. I didn't guide Him. And I only loved Him because He first loved me. But notice the Bible says He rejoices over you. Because you're His child. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Imagine that. Can you imagine? God sings. God sings. Man, wouldn't that be a... Wouldn't you love to hear that? God singing over you. Wow, would you just let that sink? I see it's just overwhelming you right now. It's just... God sings over you. If you're saved. If you're one of His. He sings over you. He joys over you. He rejoices because you got in. He rejoices because you heard the gospel and you trusted Him. He sings over you. Anybody happy about that? Are you hearing me? Man. Man. You're the subject of a song. In heaven. That's what it says. He sings over thee. Rejoices over you. Why? He loves you. He remembers what He did for you. That price He paid for you on the cross, He thought it was worth it. He didn't get much for that, I don't think, but He thought it was worth it, or He wouldn't have done it. I think we need to get some sanctified emotions. I think our emotions need salvation or something. Our emotions need to get saved. He saved our soul, but our emotions, I think, are still stuck in the world. And do you know that God uses feelings? God does not despise your emotions. In fact, God uses even the emotions of a lost man to bring him to Christ. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Remember, God put those feelings in you. He put emotion in you. And God uses that even to bring unsaved people to Him. Acts chapter 17. Look at verse number 24. Paul is in Athens among a bunch of intellectuals, a bunch of philosophers. And in verse number 24, Paul says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, meaning He has made us all similar. We're all made out of the same stuff. Doesn't matter what color skin you got. Doesn't matter what nationality, what kind of upbringing. Humanity is all made out of the same stuff. God made the human soul the same way, regardless of what nation you grew up in, or what language you speak, or what color your skin is. The soul is the same. And God did this. He made all people the same this way, and made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply, that doesn't mean happily, that means if perhaps, by some chance, they might feel after Him and find Him. Can I tell you what? I was feeling like a blind man in the dark for God. There was something in here. My emotions were drawing me to Him. You don't think God has sometimes used a man's discontentment? You don't think God has sometimes used, has not used a man's sorrow, his dissatisfaction with life? Just getting fed up with this world, you know, that's an emotion. The Bible says God made the human soul, made men all the same, so that no matter where they are, by some chance, perhaps, they might feel. Their heart might long for something. They know something's missing. You didn't get saved unless you felt like something wasn't right. Right? Your feelings were a part of it. Your feelings don't save you, but God uses those feelings. He drew us to Him because in our feelings we were dissatisfied with something. And God made it this way. He taps into those feelings. That's why sometimes as a Christian, you may feel such just discontentment with yourself. Such dissatisfaction with yourself. Man, use that. Respond to God. Draw near to God. Bring Him those emotions. Because God uses sometimes those emotions to draw you closer to Him. Unhappiness. Loneliness. God's used loneliness to bring some people to Him. God has used the fear of death. Some folks, that's an emotion. Fear of dying. Fear of where you're going to go when you die. Say, well, yeah, the preacher's just trying to get to me emotionally. He's just trying to, you know, he's trying to play on my emotions. Hey, that's the Spirit of God. He's trying to play on your emotions. He's trying to, before you've completely seared your conscience and you have no more feelings, God's trying to deal with you, and God wants your feelings to respond to Him. Sorrow. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul here is talking about the Gentiles, the unsaved, the world at large, if you will. Mankind. Ephesians chapter 4. Look in verse number 17. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling..." Wow. You see, there are some people, when you let sin work on your heart, when you let sin have its way in your life, it corrupts your emotions. And after a while, you can't feel the Spirit of God tugging at you anymore. You could hear the gospel all day long and you'll just yawn. Somebody could tell you about Jesus Christ. You could hear beautiful music. You could watch a little girl sing a beautiful song like that this morning. The daughter of a king, all glorious within. And it doesn't faze you at all. Doesn't phase your past feeling to the place where sin has just burned out your emotions. Oh, the world can still get a rise out of you, but God no longer can. I think sometimes God's people get past feeling. They get where they're afraid of their feelings. They're afraid to feel anything. They're afraid to respond to God. They're afraid to get excited. They're afraid to let their emotions show. I mean, you have to have a rule over your own spirit. I'm not saying about being so emotionally unstable that you're, you know, you have no control. But I'm saying, I think sometimes we go to the other extreme. We go all the other way. We're so much in control. We don't let God stir up those feelings in us. We don't let God stir up those emotions. God wants to stir up your heart. He wants to get down there and just, as Pastor Mel used to say, just squeeze your heart until the juice comes out your eyes. That's what God wants to do. Just squeeze your heart until the juice comes out your eyes. And sometimes we feel God squeeze in our heart and we start stiffening up. We're not going to let that happen. We're not going to show any weakness like that. You better be careful. If you're not careful, you'll get to the place where you're past feeling, where the Spirit of God can no longer get through to you. You don't hear His voice and you don't respond. Past feeling. Remember those guys in Romans chapter 1 who, because they rejected the truth of God, the Bible says God gave them up to vile affections. Those are feelings. And so now their feelings, they only respond emotionally to filthy things, to vile things. And no longer can respond emotionally to the things of God. Like some of you can sit here, hear a message, or go home, read your Bible, and it doesn't touch you, doesn't speak to you, doesn't convict you, doesn't give you any joy. Read your Bible. Don't you ever sometimes just feel like crying? Crying over your own sin? Crying over how wonderful your Savior is to you? You're just reading, and sometimes you just got to start talking to God out loud. You just have to shout sometimes. But you know what? If you let the world tamper with your emotions, it'll take special effects and rock music to get a stir out of you. The world knows how to get a hold of your heart and manipulate your emotions. Madison Avenue knows how to do that. How to get in there and squeeze you and manipulate you and work you and use you. You know, I want to be responsive to the Spirit of God. I want to be able to feel the touch of God on my heart. I want to be able to know when it's God speaking to me. When it's God just, you know, tapping you on the shoulder. When it's the Lord dealing with you. Don't get past feeling. Don't get to the place where you don't feel anything anymore for God. Don't get to the place where a good hymn doesn't just make you want to just swell up inside with joy. If you've gotten to that place in your life, maybe you're there now this morning, I don't know. Maybe you're that way this morning. Maybe some of you are just as cold and dead as a bump on a log. And you need God to just break your heart, for God to just revive your heart, for God to do something inside of you. Ask God. I've been asking Him this. God, I want You to put the shout back in my heart. I want You to put the shout back. I want You to put the shout back. I want You to put the glory back and the praise back. I don't want to disappoint Him. I don't want to break His heart. I don't want to break His heart. I want to give Him all the glory that's due unto His name. If I'm saved, it ought to be so easy for us to sing and rejoice and shout. The Bible is full of it. We don't have time. I got a whole bunch of verses here about the saints just shouting. I wish we could go there. Psalm 5, verse 11. Psalm 32, verse 11. Psalm 47, verse 1. Psalm 132, verse 9. It's all talking about the saints shouting. Shouting! You know, the Bible says in Job chapter, I think it's 38, verse 7, about the sons of God, the angels. Back in the beginning, when the Lord was creating and laying the foundations of the earth, and it says, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Those are angels. What do they got to rejoice about? They've never been saved. But they're watching God work. They're watching the work of God, and they shouted for joy as they're watching God lay the foundations of the planet earth. Man, you watch God work in your life, it ought to bring a shout out every once in a while. If you see Him working, if you see Him, He's laid some foundations in your life, hasn't He? You ought to be able to rejoice. What do I do to get the right feelings back? How do you get that shout back? How do you get the joy back? If the rejoicing is gone, how do you get it back? some simple things and we're done. First of all, turn your attention to the things of God. Turn your attention to the things of God. Shut some other things off in your life. And turn your attention with all your heart. Turn your attention to the things of God. Fix your heart upon Him. Consider Him. Stay long in His Word. Think upon those things, like the Bible says, that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If there be any praise, think on these things, right? Because if you think on right things, guess what? It affects your heart. David said, as I was musing, that means thinking, as I was musing, the fire burned. You know what happened? As David began to think on the Lord, his heart got rekindled. The fire started to burn again. The fire got rekindled. If the joy is gone, if the shout is gone, if there's something missing in your life, then I guarantee you the focus of your heart has been for too long on the things of this world. Too much TV, too much movie, too much video, too much of the other nonsense, too much of the music of this world, and your heart doesn't respond. You don't feel anything. You don't feel anything when God tugs at you. You don't even feel it. If it's gone and you're concerned about it, then you're going to have to turn your attention back to the Lord. Put your eyes on Him. Look unto Him. Meditate on Him. And as you think on Him, guess what? The fire begins to burn again. Luke chapter 24, two discouraged disciples walking along a road. Up comes Jesus Christ and begins to walk with them. And He asks them some questions. He doesn't reveal who He is. And He's asking them questions. And He begins to go through the Scriptures and talk to them about all the things concerning Himself. And then, before that walk is over, they say, when they went and later reported this to the brethren, to the disciples, did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us along the way and opened to us the Scriptures? Did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us and opened to us the Scriptures? You know what happens? If you will let God talk to you and you will let Him open your heart to the Scriptures, your heart will begin to burn again. I mean, that fire, that emotion, that passion, that zeal, that heat will come back again. Because that's the effect God has. Is not my word like as a fire, the Lord says? His word is like a fire. So if that passion is gone, if the emotion is gone, if the feeling is gone, I think you need to get more of that book in your heart. Read it. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Dwell on it. Keep it with you throughout the day so you can read it now and then. Keep something in your pocket. Keep a portion of it in your purse or something. And throughout the day, dwell on it, dwell on it, dwell on it, and keep that fire burning in your heart. Jeremiah got discouraged. He got discouraged. I mean, the Bible says he's out there preaching his heart out. The people didn't want to hear what he had to say. They only heaped reproach on him, and they rejected him. And so Jeremiah got to the place where he got so upset, he just decided, I'm not saying another word there. I'm not opening my mouth anymore. I am done. Nobody's listening anyway. But you know what Jeremiah said? He says, thy word was in my heart like a burning fire, and I could not contain. See, that book will keep the fire going in your heart. If those feelings have like died out, if you feel dead emotionally to the things of God, you need to turn your attention to the Lord. You need to fix your focus back on Him. Dwell on Him. Meditate on Him. Get back in the book. Fill yourself up with Him. Get in His presence. Spend some time at His feet like Mary until the Lord just begins to stir you up again on the inside. Jeremiah said when he looked over the city of Jerusalem when it was destroyed, he said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. And that's another thing. You know, be careful about what you look at. Be careful about what you look at. Because your eye affects your heart. When you're staring and filling your head up with the things of this world, your heart will cool down. Your feelings for God will die.
Right.
There's no way you say, well, not me. No, you're no different than anybody else. Your eye affects your heart. You spend your week staring at, filling your head up, looking at, gazing at the things of this world. Your feelings for God are dying. They're dying. They're fizzling out. That fire will go out. What you look at, what you meditate on, what you consider has a huge effect upon your heart. Even with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Luke chapter 19, He came near the city of Jerusalem, and when He was come near and beheld the city, He wept over it. You know what? As He stood there looking at that city, and He just took it all in, and you consider those people who were His people turned away from God, as He beheld that situation, it broke His heart and He began to cry. His eye affected His heart. His eye affected His heart. All through the Scriptures you'll see that. Paul, when he went to Athens, it says his spirit was stirred up in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He looked at all the false religion and he looked at the idolatry all around him, and it stirred him up on the inside. His eye affected his heart. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 9, it says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. His eye affected his heart. So that tells me that where you turn your attention, what you focus on as a Christian, affects your feelings and your emotions. It affects how you feel about the things of God. David said in Psalm 119, verse 37, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity." Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. That'd be a good prayer for every one of us. God, just help me to turn away my eyes from the things that don't profit me spiritually. And that may mean you're going to have to shut some things off in your life. Turn the TV off. Turn some things off in your life that you are allowing, you're inviting into your heart, into your thoughts, and it kills your emotion for God. So then you can hear a message or you can read your Bible and it doesn't do anything for you. You don't feel anything. You don't experience joy. You don't experience that gladness. You don't experience, I don't know, that praise that should be in your heart. But that's what God wants you and I to have all the time, all the time. Praise Him. Worship Him. Let's end with this. Go to Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And we did this Wednesday night, and I'm only going to touch on a couple of verses here, but I just want to remind you about where you're going. This is your home. This is where you live. This is where you're seated right now. You're seated in heavenly places. You're there already in Christ. So you're already there. You're just waiting for your body to catch up. All right, that's what the Bible says. Just waiting for my body. You're still here, but spiritually, if you're saved, you're already there. So this is your home. This is where you're going to live. This is what it's like. And you read Revelation 4 and 5, and man, it's a wild place. It's a crazy, wild place. Shouting, singing, people falling down, getting up, falling back down. That's not slain in the spirit. That's just, man, they're getting a glimpse of the one on the throne, and there's nothing you can do but just fall down at His feet and love Him and worship Him. And it says here in Revelation chapter 4, the beasts that are around Him, and we did this Wednesday night, so I'm not going to redo that, but those four beasts in verse number 8 that are all around the throne of God, notice around halfway down verse 8 it says, "They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks, that amazes me, is that what are they thanking Him for? I mean, they've never known sin. They've never known being redeemed. They've never been forgiven. But they're thanking Him. They're thanking the Lord. It says, and when they do that, it says, then notice verse 10, the 24 elders, those guys represent, I guess, spiritual leadership, the heads of the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. Cast their crowns. The ultimate achievement in the Christian life is one day to receive a reward from the Lord. Their crowns. So there's their ultimate achievement. And in the face of Jesus Christ, that ultimate achievement is just throw it at His feet. it's not really worth. It's all because of Him. And they throw those crowns at His feet. So there's worship, there's praise, there's singing. Look at chapter 5, verse number 8. When He had taken the book, this is Jesus Christ, He took the book. He was the only one worthy to open this book. It says, and when He did, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down again. They fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, vials full of odors. Verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. And they're singing about being redeemed. They're thanking Him because they're saved. They're grateful because their sins are washed away. Verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then it goes on. And so then notice verse 11, now the angels get in on it. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Millions of angels. Singing, praising God, worshiping Jesus Christ, saying with a loud voice. This is not quiet worship. This is not reserved worship. This is not, the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him. This ain't it. We got some weird idea of heaven. I mean, it almost sounds chaotic. It almost sounds like these people have just lost their minds. They're shouting, they're singing, they're falling down, they're throwing their crowns at His feet. The angels begin to sing, millions of angels singing. And then notice verse 13. Now everybody else gets in on it. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea. That means the fish are singing. Psalm 96 says the trees are going to sing and clap their hands when the Lord returns. So it's just a metaphor. Oh, you are really nuts. I think you're going to hear the trees singing. I think you're going to hear bass and tenors, and it's probably going to be, the Bible says the earth, the fields are going to rejoice when Jesus Christ comes. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, He said. Let everything that hath breath. And here it describes, I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, His creation, this is what His creation owes Him. This is what we owe Him. He's worthy of this. Even the animals are going to praise Him. In the sea, all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. I like that. Amen. 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 So let it be. Amen. Right? That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Is that missing in your life? Is the shout gone? Is the rejoicing gone? Is the joy gone? Where'd it go? Who stole your joy? Where did it go? You are robbing God, and I'm robbing God if we don't pay our vows before them that fear Him. Pay your vows. Pay up. Pay up. I'm not talking about your money. Pay up. Pay what you owe. The fruit of your lips. Pay what you owe. The fruit of your lips. Let the redeemed of the Lord not think so. It doesn't say let the redeemed of the Lord think so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Pay Him what you owe. Pay your vows before them that fear Him. Pay Him what you owe. Praise Him. Glorify His name. Rejoice in what He's done for you. Don't be ashamed of Him. I want, and not just because I want it, it doesn't matter what I want, but I think it's what God wants. This place needs to ring with God's praises. This place needs to ring with the shouts of God's people who are happy they're redeemed. And I hope you will let God do that in your heart. If it's missing, let's get it fixed. Let's get it fixed before any more time goes by in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.